It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Good afternoon, and welcome into the Sports Spotlight here on this February 1st, Tuesday of the year 2022.
Wake up.
It's the first of the month.
Yeah. It is the first of the month.
The rent
February
is
1st.
Due, ladies and gentlemen. First
the rent
of the month.
Is due. Yeah, what Owen, you got to pay up.
I tried putting my coat and accidentally hit the mic.
Owen, you must pay up since even though you're on like a contract now, you have to pay us to be on the show.
That's right.
Well, I don't know how that – I don't
the
think that's how it works.
Is
I think
one,
you pay me.
One Skittle per year.
So where is your Skittle?
Yeah. You can owe us.
I think it's at
you know,
home.
Typically you don't move the mic when it's turned on.
I would prefer it to turn off.
All right. We got you.
Yeah, he was trying to signal.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's Owen.
Yeah, right.
But we're in located WBDG Studios in Indiana, a place that will be covered in snow soon.
That's what they're saying. Looks like we're going to be getting a lot of snow.
A lot of snow. It's rumored. I mean, I've seen lots of different things online. We could get up to 6 inches, up to 18 inches. I mean, it's just...
It's all over.
Yeah, and I don't know, but...
And that's because this whole thing is, like, really hard to forecast, because we don't know how much ice we're going to get. We don't know how much sleet we're going to get. We don't know exactly when it's coming in. We just know it's going to be cold. We know that we're going to get some snow. We know that we're going to get some ice. We know that you probably don't want to drive on the roads on Thursday. So, yeah. It's going to be crazy.
So since all this is happening outside in the upcoming days, there will be no show Thursday if we're not in school. So, yeah.
Plan accordingly.
Plan accordingly.
If you tune in and you don't hear us, is not because we've done the Tom Brady and retired.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a second.
Yeah.
But that's today's show here on this Tuesday.
I don't think it's breaking news.
No,
since
Schefter ruined it for a week. But breaking news out of Tom Brady himself, you could say. Tom Brady has announced that he is retiring. In his retirement speech, which was his retirement post, nothing about the New England Patriots.
That was weird.
That's something. I don't know. Maybe
you
he's
see
mad.
That?
Yeah, he's like, I love the Buccaneers community.
Oh, he said everything
like
about the Buccaneers. Nothing about Boston. About New England.
He didn't even think the guy who deflated his footballs.
Yeah, nothing.
You'd think he gives something to like Bill Belichick or anything like that.
I mean, yeah. I don't think he likes Bill Belichick.
I don't think Bill Belichick likes him either. I think they just kind of
I don't think Bill Belichick
existed.
Likes himself.
I don't. I mean, I would. I don't know.
He probably likes Steve.
Who's
his
Steve?
Son.
Oh. Nike. Nike, his dog.
Is Nike his dog?
Yeah, that was the whole meme in 2020 when he was like sitting at the computer during draft night.
Ah.
Yeah, but
he's got a husky named Nike.
Eventually, Tom Brady came out and did say thank you.
He likes Bruce Springsteen. We know that. He goes to Bruce Springsteen concerts. So.
And he likes Subway, too.
Yeah.
He's in lots of those commercials.
Tom Brady doesn't like Subway, though, but he's in that commercial.
Bill Belichick's in a Subway commercial?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
He's in a couple of them.
Get yourself some subs here at Subway, and, yeah. You know, we're going to run a good team. And
He strikes me as the cold cut combo guy.
I'm a cold cut combo guy.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, there you go.
Really? Do you go for the cold cut combo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I go cold cut combo.
What's your go to?
I don't eat Subway too often.
And then I get the spinach.
Play along, Jackson.
Spinach, black olives, tomatoes, mayo.
So maybe you'll get along with Bill Belichick.
I go with the Black Forest ham.
Black Forest ham is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We were saying.
But
we hijacked your show. Congratulations.
But Tom Brady. Did eventually thank the New England Patriots, as the Patriots did release something from owner Robert Kraft. Bill Belichick did not comment on that. I mean, it was not reported that he
didn't
comment.
But I'll be Bill Belichick. You ask me about Tom Brady. You'd be like the media.
Mr. Belichick, Tom Brady retiring after 22 years, 20 years spent with your team. I mean, he is just a phenomenal career. What do you think about Tom Brady?
Yeah, he's a good player.
Well, we have breaking news.
On to Mac Jones.
We have breaking news. Tom Brady did tweet out, thank you, Patriots Nation,
That's
with a red heart.
That's just what Jackson said.
I thought you said that was from Robert Kraft.
No, I said Tom Brady eventually did thank the Patriots.
Oh, I thought you said that was from Robert Kraft.
Because Robert Kraft tweeted.
Okay.
Listen.
I
turn up your headphones.
Listening is a skill.
Oh, I thought you said it was Robert Kraft.
No, it's not breaking news. I already said it.
He said that he did thank the Patriots after Robert Kraft released his statement.
Owen Pooley, ladies and gentlemen. Owen Pooley. But I don't even think I introduced all of ourselves. I'm Jackson Watt, your host, alongside Owen Pooley, who is now a full-signed contract on the spotlight, maybe.
We might want to
release him.
We may want to rethink that. See, he's not even
Silence.
Listening now.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
And then WBDG General Manager John Easter.
So, yeah, so I know he's a great player. On to Mac Jones. That's pretty much what he'd say.
Yeah, Mac Jones, he had a phenomenal rookie year.
On to Mac Jones.
Mac Jones.
On to Cincinnati.
On to New York.
On to New York. I resign as HC of Jets. That was his resignation letter.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. On a piece of notebook paper.
I think Tom Brady, I mean, we'll talk about this in a minute, but I just think they did not treat him. I think he wanted to be treated above, like, let's say, a backup quarterback. And I don't think Belichick does that. I think he treats everyone 100% fairly. And whenever you're Tom Brady, a guy who's won you 6 Super Bowls, he kind of wanted the Peyton Manning treatment whenever he went in New England, and they did not give him that. So I would assume that's why the hatred is there and the tension between Tom Brady and the Patriots. But going to games that did happen this past Sunday, NFL Championship Weekend.
We don't get to comment on Tom Brady?
No, we're going to talk about that after this.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Because I'm going
to
see.
I understand now. I just wanted to know.
Yeah. No, everyone will get to talk about him in a second. But NFL Championship Conference Weekend.
You're setting the stage for the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Got you. Now I need to listen.
Yeah. Owen, take tips.
Yeah.
It's a joke, Owen.
I know.
Don't be sad.
I'm not sad.
Okay.
He's a little sad.
He's just a tad sad. But some games happened and some good ones. Someone won a big bet because they predicted the scores and winners.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know how you did that. But there's 2 games. The first game, AFC Championship game against a team that no one projected to be in this position and a team that everyone thought would. And the team that no one knew, the Cincinnati Bengals, beat the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime. The Chiefs jumped out to a 21-7 lead, and then
21-3.
21, yeah, 18-point comeback. Excuse me, it's tied with the Colts
had
in 2006.
Had a chance to go to 28-3,
and they blew it
for the half, and
or 24-3. Weird. I mean, they could have kicked a field goal, but good defense by the Bengals on that play, and the Cincinnati Bengals are going to the Super Bowl the first time they have made it since 1988, which they played the San Francisco 49ers, a team that was in the NFC.
13 years old.
A championship game. We'll talk about that in a second.
Actually, 12. I was 12 years old.
I was 15.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I don't age.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm built different. But
how old were you in 1988?
About 12.
Negative 12? Negative.
No, I was 12.
Oh, wow.
You're 16. You'd be like negative.
Whatever.
Something like that. I don't know. That's kind of
math is hard.
Kind of hard. But the Cincinnati Bengals did not win a playoff game prior to this season, since 1991. And the real thing, I mean, the player that has rejuvenized the Bengals is Joe Snisty. Nasty, whatever they call
Joe Shiesty.
Shiesty, yeah.
Joe
Burrow. Joey Burrow.
No, it's Joe Burrow.
Burrow.
You got to pronounce it like Coach O. Oh, Joe Burrow.
A guy who has ice on his neck.
Ice in his neck and ice on his veins, baby.
Joe Burrow, number 9, in his second year in the league, even having an ACL injury last season, is taking his team to the Super Bowl. And, I mean, beating possibly the best quarterback in the league. Maybe Burrow's taking that title if he wins it Sunday.
Now that Brady's gone.
Well, I don't think Brady was the best in the league anyway. His supporting cast was amazing. We'll talk about the Tampa Bay in a second.
Tampa.
It's not even
Tampa
anymore.
Tampa now.
Back to Tampa. It's back to being a 7-8, 7-9 now.
Now it's Gronk Bay.
He's going to retire as well, I would assume. Yeah. I mean, if Brady's
fair package deal.
Yeah, there's no way that he stays. Blaine Gabbert? Oh, maybe Aaron Rodgers in Tampa Bay? I'll talk about that in a minute.
It's NFC?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing that one?
But this was a good game. The Bengals had a great fourth quarter defensively, stopping Kansas City from scoring, and just a really good third quarter, having 11 points. They won 27-24. Kansas City won the toss in overtime. Josh Allen was not a fan of that one, but it still does not matter. Patrick Mahomes threw an interception, and the Bengals go down, kick a field goal, game
Shooter.
Over, and the Bengals are advancing to the Super Bowl. Bye-bye, Chiefs.
Evan McPherson kicking two game-winning field goals 2 weeks in a row to send their team on to the next round.
The rookie.
And the fan cams were awesome on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
All the fans, like, getting ready to see the kick going through. That was awesome. Yeah. That was really the coolest thing, was watching all those fans.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, the Bengals fans, they deserve it. They have not got anything at all. Like,
they got Andy Dalton. I don't know if that means anything.
No playoff wins. It doesn't count. But
Andy Dalton was really good.
I mean, Matt Stafford just got his first playoff win.
Andy Dalton was really good in Cincinnati, and so was Carson Palmer. But
no playoff wins the show.
Joe,
I mean, they had
some Buzz built different.
They had some players over there. They had Ocho Cinco, AJ Green. I mean, they had some good running backs back in the day. Good offensive linemen, good defenders. Just could not get it done in the playoffs.
Could not.
But
nope.
Joe Burrow is that guy.
No, it's not Burrow. It's Joe Burrow.
Yeah. But he's that guy.
Yep.
He is that guy. And there's only a few people you can say that about in the league, and he has it. And it's been proven. But now going to the NFC, a game that everyone thought would be more lopsided than it was. The final score ended up being 20-17. Drum roll, please. The Rams pulled out the victory. But the Niners were in this game, and in all reality, the Niners' safety catches an interception in the fourth quarter, the Niners won this game, and they're going to the Super Bowl with a quarterback that people say is a major upgrade than Carson Wentz. We'll get to that in a second.
There's a lot of things we're getting to in a second.
Jimmy G.
Yeah, Jimmy G did a Carson Wentz play in the fourth quarter to lose that one. But the Rams pulled out the victory. Stafford did not play as well as people like to play it out to be. All reality, I mean, he had some bad throws.
But you know what?
They won.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He'd go into the Super Bowl.
Play Burrow.
He's going all the way to L.A.
So you have a guy who's number one pick in 2020.
Yeah, the number one pick in 2008.
Yeah, both going for their first Super Bowl.
Man,
both playing in their first Super Bowl.
Both playing in their first playoffs and getting their first playoff win.
And a story that isn't talked too much about, Zach Taylor, former assistant for Sean McVay. The combined age of the two coaches, 74 years old.
Tom Brady, 75.
Yes, exactly. Pete Carroll, the oldest coach in the league, is 70. So, you know, you got these two young, extremely talented coaches. And I haven't seen this, Todd. This might be a question for Jake Query, who likes these sorts of things. But is Zach Taylor... does he have the worst record of any coach that's ever coached in the Super Bowl? Because he's like 19-32 or something like that right now.
Well, it's because he had such terrible couple years before.
Terrible start. I think they won a total of, what, six games his
in
first
2 years. Yeah.
So, I'm not hating on the guy, but that's also something that, you know, but usually when you have an assistant face the former mentor, it's like the former mentor is like, you know, Bill Belichick, 75 years old. He's not 75. I think he's like 69 years old. And then you have the young guy. But now it's like, actually, McVay is younger than Zach Taylor, which...
McVay got a job at 30, if that tells you anything.
McVay has been to the Super Bowl twice, and he's 36 years old.
And he's scored a combined 3 points in... Super Bowls that he's played
so far. I bet they
score
more than three this time.
Yeah. I guarantee you they score more than 3 points.
I'll take the over on that one.
No, I will definitely take the over.
That's
but
that's still a pretty cool story.
Really. Oh, yeah.
Bengals are shutting out the Rams. Calling it here, 35-0.
I mean...
that would be something.
You're 18 years old, right? Now, you're 16 years old. So, can you imagine in 20 years, you guys facing each other in the Super Bowl?
I would beat you. I would definitely 100% beat you.
Like the Harbaugh in, what was it, 2013, Niners... yeah. Ravens.
And then on 20 years, I'll be 66. So there you go. So I could be Bill Belichick.
Doesn't matter. I'm winning the Super Bowl.
guys will have a showdown in the press box. That's what it'll be.
Yeah.
My press conference will be better than yours as well.
You're working for Fox. I'm working for CBS. And
well, Jim Nantz.
You and Joe Buck's holographic head calling games together. His cryogenically frozen body.
You can actually work for Nickelodeon.
Joe Buck.
I could call.
Joe Buck is not that old.
In 20 years, he will be.
Yeah, true.
Mm. I'll work for Nickelodeon, and I'll do like the slime cam and everything like that.
Joe Buck is kind of like the Sean McVay of the NFL because he was really young.
He's been in it forever.
I feel like Kevin Harlan is more like that.
Kevin Harlan is awesome. That's
but Kevin Harlan is also like if Sean McVay coached the Rams and the Lakers and the Dodgers.
Kevin Harlan
and
does
the,
everything.
And the Ducks.
Kevin Harlan and Iron Eagle. Those mm-hmm. guys are unreal. And Noah Eagle's going to be great too. But anyway, this is a whole nother, whole other topic that we're getting off on here.
But the NFC game, yeah.
Yeah.
NFC Championship game, Jimmy Garoppolo, 232, two touchdowns, one interception. Interception yeah. late interception on a Carson-like. Wentz-like play.
That was critical, though.
He just, I don't know.
Basically
know,
said, screw it, I'm going to get rid of it, and then ended up being picked.
You know, he was trying to make a play there.
Jimmy
in
G
that
has
situation.
Been banged up for a while.
They were really backed up. It was late in the game. I don't really begrudge him that.
Deebo out there somewhere.
Yeah.
And they only had one timeout.
He was trying to make a play.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
it didn't work.
At that time, you have to wait. If you get sacked there, you most likely have to waste your timeout, which... You can't waste because you only have one, and you got to call a timeout at least to get downfield and kick it.
Just throw it out of bounds.
I will say this, though, because it would have been grounding then. But I will say this, though. No, he was out of the pocket, wasn't he?
Yeah, he rolled out.
He could have just thrown it out.
Come on, Jimmy.
We're criticizing him, and, you know, he was there. But, you know, the Sean McVay, from a coach, from a time management perspective, everything, did everything he could to lose that game. Those two just absolutely
terrible
brain dead challenges cost him two timeouts. His other timeout was poorly used. It was just like he was doing everything he could. He was being so aggressive as far as coaching, and it was like you don't have to be in that. But those two challenges were those were two of the worst challenges I've ever seen.
I saw a meme there.
And believe me, I'm a Colts fan, so I know some bad challenges.
I saw a meme and it said, Sean McVay's handkerchief must have gotten put in with like a red sock or something, however many times he used it.
It was something else.
But Matt Stafford, I saw another thing there. It was like, Matt Stafford's such a great quarterback. A team like Detroit could really use him.
How about that?
How about the Lions?
How about Jared Goff? What's he thinking right now?
He's a good quarterback. Jared Goff is not as great as Stafford, obviously, but I think that it's just Detroit. Detroit syndrome.
Extremely.
Is
hey, they
huge.
Had similar numbers, and the Rams won more games last year with Jared Goff as their quarterback.
But yeah, it's just Detroit.
But I think Stafford. I mean, obviously, he's the better quarterback.
I mean, and it's so good to see him have some success because
he hasn't
everything that he went through in Detroit.
Goff was what was he number one or number two?
He went
overall
number one.
Pick. He
and
went
they gave
one.
Up a right. lot to get him too.
They gave up a bunch to get him.
So they've given up, you know, I will say this about McVay as a player personnel guy. He knows who he wants, and he will give up pretty much anything to get that person because he's done it twice now to get quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, and he gave up a bunch to get Jalen Ramsey, a bunch to get Von Miller. I mean, they give out picks.
It's also L.A.
Like, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's also L.A. Like, it's – that's what I didn't like about the California teams playing. Like, I get – San Francisco is a little different because being in Northern California, but that's what I wasn't a huge fan about with the Rams because it's almost like a pay to win. You know what I mean? Because they have all that cap space, and you get guys like
it's
Von Miller.
Lakers model.
Yeah. Well, the Lakers have all the pieces. They just are not good. The
Lakers don't have any pieces.
I'm saying
have
they
a bunch
have
of old pieces.
They have the names. They just don't have the.
They have a bunch of names that are old.
Yeah. That were good in like.
Well, if they had that team in 2010.
Yeah. That my 45-year-old. That my 45-year-old uncle thinks this is. You know, well, I remember watching Melo play in 2005.
Well, he was a second-year player.
He's probably their best player right now other than LeBron James.
Yeah, Anthony Davis just coming back from injury.
You mean always damaged?
Hey, Disney.
That's what AD stands for, always damaged.
He is always hurt.
But I think, you know, as far as the 49ers, I was cheering for the 49ers.
I was, too.
I like their uniforms. And those gold pants and the gold helmets and the white jerseys, that's by far one of the best road combos anywhere in the league.
Oh, yeah.
But I was really cheering for the 49ers because that team's just full of gritty guys that just, you know, play hard. There were some really dirty plays in that game. I
know, started getting chippy quick.
I know that the one player just went after Stafford after the play was well over and it didn't draw a flag. I thought that was a little low. But I was really cheering hard for the 49ers because they're just such a gritty team. And that's really why they got where they got this year. It was on that just the pure grit. It wasn't necessarily because they were the most talented team, but they just worked hard and you know, unfortunately, they kind of ran out of grit there at the end.
I think if they had DeForest Buckner, that would have been a little different.
DeForest Buckner with help might be a really good D-tackle, but we do not know that because he has no help.
Yeah. But that was the whole thing with the team in 2019 is that Jimmy Garoppolo, he's a good quarterback, obviously. He's shown that he can get to championship-level games.
Obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo isn't the best quarterback in the league.
Right.
But if you look at his record, I mean, all the dude does is win.
Yeah, because his defense. The defense, I feel like the defense really helped in
2019. He's won some games.
Yeah, in 2019, but you watch
that. He's also hurt this year. He's been banged up.
Yeah.
Which he's been a lot. Yeah, so, I mean,
it's a problem.
You know, that's a whole different topic. But, you know, as far as the NFC Championship game, it did not necessarily go down like I thought it would, but the team I thought would win.
Oh, I obviously thought the Rams would win.
Not the AFC game, though.
I think I picked the Bengals.
I picked the Bengals.
Yeah. I picked the Chiefs.
Yeah, me and you both picked the Bengals. Yeah. You picked Chiefs.
I wanted the Bengals to win, but I thought the Chiefs were going to win, you know?
I said I could see both teams winning, but I'm going to go on a limb and say you picked the Niners.
I picked the Niners. There you go.
You picked the Chiefs and then the Niners.
That's what I picked.
So this might sound kind of nerdy, but I was at this
I couldn't remember
thing. It was a bowl with the pros thing with like the pro bowlers and stuff. And one of the bowlers there is a big Chiefs fan.
Mm.
And he had like one of the bowling shirts and it was like designed to look like a Chiefs uniform and had 15 on the back. And he's watching the game there. He's like, they're up big, you know, like kept saying, oh, they're up big. And then they ended up losing. So he was like, you know, the entire time he's like, they're up, they're scoring, they're still scoring. So, I don't know.
And to me, back to the AFC game, Patrick Mahomes did not look right.
Mm-mm.
There was something going on there. You know, just some of the plays that he made, especially, I mean, early on he looked like Patrick Mahomes, but once that stop was made at the goal line, it was like something changed. And then, I mean, Andy Reid called some really strange plays down the stretch, and then It was a very strange ending to that game, very un-Chiefs-like, but that's why they're going home.
Mm-hmm. And
It should be a really good Super Bowl, I think.
Oh, yeah, and we'll talk about all that next week in our Super Bowl preview.
There's a lot to root for on both teams. Of course, Chris Evans, too. We haven't mentioned him. Former Ben Davis Giant is going to play in the Super Bowl.
I think he's the fifth or fourth? Fourth.
Davis to actually play. There was a fifth Ben Davis, former Ben Davis player, who became a scout with the Ravens. Yeah, so it was kind of weird because Corey Harris played for the Ravens, Tandon Doss played for the Ravens, now the Bengals get Chris Evans.
So the AFC North's
doing well, and Morton Anderson, the Hall of Famer, played for the Falcons
in
their loss. Nope, the Falcons only.
Well, I'm saying, did he not play for the Saints?
He played for the Saints, but not in
the Super Bowl.
He played for the Falcons.
He won to a Super Bowl in the Falcons.
Yep.
Did not win.
What was it? I believe 35?
Super Bowl 33,
I believe. Oh, no. Corey Harris went to 35.
Yes, with the Ravens.
Yeah.
Yep. And then 47, I believe, for Tandon Doss. I believe it was Super Bowl 47.
Trying to think. Which one was it? Yeah. I think 47, because it was the year after Indianapolis. It was Louisiana.
Yep.
And that was the power outage game.
Yeah.
So 2013.
Played the 49ers.
Yep, 2013. That was the Jim Harbaugh. The Harbaugh. And then now we have Chris Evans. Super Bowl LVI.
And maybe DeJuan Jones will be in the Super Bowl one day.
Someday.
Okay. I talked to him at the basketball game, the Carmel game, and that man is huge.
Well, he came and this is a different topic, but he came and sat behind us during the, I mean, literally sat behind, right behind Jackson. Knee was probably in your back whole time. And so he's sitting like right there behind us. And I was like, okay, I can't tell DeJuan Jones to move. I'm not going to tell him to move.
He was just coming to say hi to Coach Bragg.
Right.
But yeah, he's gonna be a guy you could possibly see in a Super Bowl in years to come if he lands on a good team. Yeah, Owen is gone, so thanks to Owen for joining us.
Go to class.
But Tom Brady officially announced his retirement in his long speech on Twitter and Instagram. He did not say a single thing about the New England Patriots. And the real question is, I know Tom Brady, 22 years. I mean, but the thing is, it's kind of funny. He's going to have the same thing for the remainder of his lifetime as an NFL player or whatever, as the same thing Peyton Manning has. You were going to see Tom Brady in only Buccaneers jerseys everywhere. Same with Peyton Manning in a Broncos jersey.
I don't know. You see Peyton in a lot of Colts stuff.
They're starting to bring it back more.
Yeah.
But right after he retired, only Broncos.
I mean, Peyton, like Brady, won Super Bowls in both places, which I think was pretty cool. But, I mean, if either player had not played the other place, nobody would probably know who they are, you know? And they wouldn't have. And I think their terms on why they left were totally different, too.
Peyton didn't want to leave. Tom did.
Peyton did not want to leave, but I think he understood where the Colts were. I
mean, yeah.
If you go back and you put yourself in Jim Irsay's position.
Obviously go luck.
Which a lot of people, but you didn't know you were going to get luck yet. So you put yourself in Peyton Manning, or you put yourself in Jim Irsay's position, right? You had a Colts team that had just gone, 2-14?
Yeah.
And they had all those needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Peyton Manning pretty much had carried them for 3 or 4 years. So they had all these needs, right? And you have to sign a check for $28 million to a guy who has a neck injury that is so severe, you don't really even know if they're going to play anymore.
He couldn't throw a football.
Right. And he had the surgery, and, you know, everything's regenerating. So I don't begrudge. A lot of people still, begrudge Jim Irsay.
No, he made the right decision because he wanted to build towards the future.
Right.
The obvious choice is you have to release Peyton Manning, and they did so.
Yeah.
The thing is, they knew they were getting Andrew Luck because they called that season suck for Luck. They knew that Peyton Manning's time with the Colts was over. Everyone knew it mid-season.
Right.
And in all reality, I mean, the Colts, 2009.
But there was still a debate going on about Andrew Luck or RG3. That was still, believe it or not, a debate.
I mean,
that was going on.
Everyone for the Colts came out. They said they never even looked at RG3.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you see.
But you can't say now because we have
in 2012.
We have 2020 hindsight.
Yeah, but even
back then, the debate was, do you go for RG3 or do you go for Andrew Luck? The Colts knew they were probably going to get Andrew Luck, but the thing was you didn't know it when all that was going on.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, it's the obvious choice to release Peyton Manning, even though he is the greatest of all time here and everything. But, I mean, it's just you don't pay someone almost $30 million not to be able to play
football. I think Peyton's second act is still the greatest second act of all time.
Oh, 100%.
Going to Denver.
What he did in Denver in that 4 years.
Won an MVP.
He should have won 2.
Yeah.
In all reality.
Yeah.
I mean, that was crazy. But Denver had a loaded team.
They did.
And everyone's like, well, Denver was loaded. They had a great offensive line, a good head coach, good receiving core. They had a running back by committee that always seemed to get rushing yards.
Two good head coaches. John Fox and then Kubiak.
Oh, yeah. Kubiak was their OC.
Yeah.
Besides, he actually came on later because
John Fox was there early with Peyton.
Yeah, his first 3 years, then Kubiak won a Super Bowl in his last season. Fox
with
went
Peyton
to,
just hanging on.
Oh, that was not the same Peyton Manning. But his first 3 years, even though in that Colts playoff game in his second last year, he did not look good.
No.
But the second stand, I mean, I know Brady had an amazing year this season, but what Peyton Manning did in a 16-game season, and now the Brady 17 is just absurd.
Well, and then, you know, Tom Brady, with the exception of the 1 year where he was out and injured, I think that is the most amazing thing about Tom Brady is that over all that time, the guy never really missed any games. I mean, he missed the one season where he had the knee injury, the very serious knee injury, which created the whole you can't hit the quarterback low rules in the league now. That was him. And also, well, that's another thing. Tom Brady created rules in the NFL. First, you can't hit a quarterback low. He and Carson Palmer both kind of created that rule. But then the other thing where you had the tuck rule, that whole thing got overturned because of Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady changed the game a lot. He did. And going now to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they sit in a position where their team is still loaded. I mean, the Buccaneers have receivers, they have an offensive line, they have running backs, and they have a loaded defense. And the real question is, I know there's a lot of quarterbacks that futures are uncertain. Now, since Tom Brady is no longer a member of the Buccaneers, Gronkowski's not going to be there either, but they still have two really good tight ends. And O.J., and not O.J. Howard, but what's his name? Howard the tight end, and then Cameron Brake. Two good tight ends, receivers. I mean, they have Scotty Miller. Chris Godwin possibly is going to resign since they have free cap for since Brady's not going to be there. Mike Evans is a guy who's going to give you 1,000 every season. They have a good defense led by Levante David and Devin White, two of the best linebackers in the league. They have Shaquille Barrett on the edge. I mean, he's one of the best. They have good safeties. They have good corners. That team is absolutely loaded. And the real question is who is going to take the place of Brady. Obviously, I don't think they want to have Blaine Gabbert as their quarterback going into next season. So I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now become the number one destination for most quarterbacks in free agency and most quarterbacks wanting a trade.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I had turned this off, but apparently not. Yeah, what is going on with my thing? As far as the free agency is concerned, I mean, a lot of people are speculating that maybe that's where somebody like Aaron Rodgers ends up. But what is Tampa Bay going to give up for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, because their picks aren't that good.
Right. So, I mean, I think that, you know, when you look at who's going to go there, I mean, what quarterbacks would you want if you're Bruce Arians? I mean, is Bruce Arians going to come back now?
That's the question, because he was there because of Brady.
He's 68 years old, 69 years old.
He retired prior to coming to Tampa.
Right. So I think there are a lot of question marks there for Tampa. You know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, does he want to go play for a guy like Bruce Arians who will criticize you?
Oh, yeah. He's not afraid.
No.
And I don't know. I mean, the real question, I mean, the Packers, I mean, it's been reported that if they trade Aaron Rodgers, he's going to the AFC.
Yeah.
I mean, you could basically, unless Tampa Bay blew the Green Bay Packers away,
right?
Like offered them the house for Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's going to be a Buccaneer. I would assume Rodgers might have them on their list because they're that good. They have a great team, great sort of supporting cast. But I don't know. I could see a guy like Garoppolo ending up in Tampa Bay. They have a better team than the Niners.
Yeah, but I don't know what Tampa Bay becomes without Tom Brady.
I don't know, because they weren't good with it without him.
I mean, for a guy who's only been there, 2 years?
Yeah.
He kind of took on the entire face of the franchise.
And now they kind of are faceless, you could say.
Right, because, you know, Antonio Brown went there because of Tom Brady. Gronk Richard came out Sherman. Of retirement because of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Sherman came over there. Bruce Arians went there because of
Tom Brady. Leonard Fournette went there because of Tom Brady.
Right.
Le'Veon Bell was there for a minute because of Tom Brady.
And Tom Brady is the kind of guy that can draw people in just because of success he's had and that he is the greatest of all time at the quarterback position. So Tampa is going to be very interesting to watch and see how that and what the Glazers do, the Glazer family, what they do to try to keep competitive. With the rest of the NFC.
I mean, Jameis Winston is a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, they could bring him back.
Hey, when he's healthy.
30-30 whenever he was there. He did get LASIK since then. He could see now.
Right.
So, hey, maybe he's going to throw like 30 and 20 or something. I mean,
I'd take Jameis Winston on the Colts. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know. I want to see him after the injury. I think he's going to re-sign with the Saints. I think they like him.
Well, they need a quarterback, too.
Yeah, I think.
And a coach.
And a coach, yeah. Since we didn't even touch on that. Sean Payton stepping down as the head coach of the Saints basically said in his press conference, I do plan on coaching again, just not here.
Right.
he didn't say that.
Jerry Jones, if you're listening.
But he's like, I just want to step away. I could see myself coaching again, basically saying he's going to take a year off and then go probably coach the Dallas Cowboys, I would assume. I mean, that would only make sense because, I mean, he's been linked there for years. And I don't think they're that happy with their coach over there in Cowboy Land.
Oh, Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, I don't think they're too happy
with
him.
The thing is, and I've been around and around with Corey Clark on this, who's a former WBDG staff member. He is now he's a Cowboys super fan, but he also has a podcast on the Cowboys, has some other things that he does with his Cowboy fandom. And we've talked about this. I don't understand what the love affair is with Sean Payton, period. Because his resume is Mike McCarthy's.
He won
a Super Bowl with a really good quarterback in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
In
all reality,
it's like 10 wins different.
In all reality,
Mike McCarthy has one more playoff win than Sean Payton has. I just don't get.
I don't think Sean Payton's the best of coaches. I think he's a good coach. Don't get me wrong.
Great offensive mind,
but he did not win anything. There was multiple seasons they had good teams and didn't make the playoffs.
9-7, 8-8.
And even when they had those loaded teams in the Drew Brees' last couple of years, they did not want two playoff wins to show for it. I mean, I don't know. I think they could have got more out of that group.
Some people say the same thing about Tony Dungy, but.
Oh, he should have got at least two.
He should have won more.
Yeah, but he had a
good. But it's one of those things where you ran into Tom Brady. Right. It's kind of like the Pacers in the 90s. They always ran into Michael Jordan. Or Kobe Bryant or, you know, somebody like that. So I think with Sean Payton, I think it'll be interesting because people are going to coach somewhere else. But, you know, a lot of people said Bill Cowher would coach again. He's never coached again.
Yeah, he went more TV.
You know, he went into TV and. He likes it. He's comfortable in TV. He's good at it.
Well, he's real good at it. He's fun to watch.
That's the Jimmy Johnson. Once he was done with the Dolphins, a lot of people thought maybe he would coach again.
Oh no!
he's happy there with the Fox crew. So those guys get into broadcasting, and then that's speculation too that Troy Aikman and Al Michaels are going to go over to Amazon and do Thursday Night Football, and then that'll move Tirico over into the NBC position. I think that's going to happen. But then there'll be an opening at Fox, maybe for a guy like Sean Payton. But will he be any good on TV? You know,
maybe.
Bruce Arians, who would seem to be a natural for television, was awful.
Terrible.
On television. So, it's really kind of difficult to predict these things and predict how he's going to be. Maybe John Gruden will resurface. I don't think that'll ever happen.
I don't think John Gruden will be.
I think
John Gruden's
done.
Yeah, Seth. Yeah, John Gruden. I don't think.
I tell you, man, I'm done.
Yeah, sadly, Mr. Gruden, you are done.
Yeah, canceled himself.
Yeah, so it's just a. Hey, the Raiders have a new coach.
They do.
A coach that they did
well,
get
he,
to sign
he,
the contract.
For now. We don't know.
I mean, no, he's officially signed a contract. You can't leave now.
So you know what that tells me? Bill Belichick's not retiring anytime soon.
Oh, no. He's not going anywhere.
Because I think that Josh McDaniel, who we're talking about.
He wanted that.
I think he was holding on, thinking that Bill Belichick might retire. No, he's not going to retire.
Well, he's like, I have the next Tom Brady in my hands. I'm not going anywhere.
That's right.
I mean, Mac Jones had a really good rookie year.
He did.
So
until the very end,
yeah. But
kind of hit that rookie wall.
Yeah,
yeah.
But second year players have been winning Super Bowls lately. Patrick Mahomes did it. Russell Wilson did it. Joe Burrow's in the Super Bowl as a second year player.
Joe Burrow.
And if he wins it, second-year quarterbacks do win the Super Bowl on an occasion. On MVP, Lamar Jackson is second year. He won MVP. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
You know, Lamar Jackson is 25 years old. That's it. I saw a graphic with that in there the other day. It's like, he's only 25?
Mm-hmm.
My mercy.
And people will ruin him out.
AFC is loaded with quarterbacks.
People saying they shouldn't even resign him. I just thought that was crazy.
Well, we take him in a heartbeat here in Indianapolis. Yeah,
come on.
Come on over, Lamar.
Lamar and Jonathan Taylor? Oh, my.
Oh, my. How many yards would they rush for?
Ooh.
That team would be scary. But, you know, with Sean Payton, we'll see where he lands. He may he's already taken a year off. We all remember that. He already took a year off, not by choice, but you know, maybe he'll go coach his kid's high school team and they'll replace him with Kevin James.
I don't know.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know.
Paul Blart, Saints coach.
People always
seen... I've not seen that movie yet. Have you seen it?
No.
I'm not
either. I almost watched it last night, and then I said, hey, I'll go to bed. But I don't
know. Decision.
Yeah, I heard it's not that good.
Paul Blart, Saints coach.
And people don't talk about that at all, Spygate, at all. It's like, it's terrible. In all reality, I don't even know if he ever should be coaching again after doing something like that.
Well, that was Spygate was Belichick.
No, not Spygate, but what they did. Trying Bounty to hurt
Gate.
Players.
Bountygate.
Yeah. Well, I got it wrong.
Yeah, Greg Williams was pretty heavily implicated in that, former defensive coordinator. I think that probably went on around the league. I don't really think that was probably limited to the Saints.
Yeah. I think
the Saints just probably
got caught.
Kind of like John Gruden. I think that he got caught.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, if you look at all these other players' emails, all the not the players, all these other owners, GMs, coaches, I mean.
I'm not excusing it, but I think that that was probably a situation where the Saints were the team that kind of just got caught doing it. They probably weren't as smart about it as maybe some of the other teams, and then they're the ones that got caught doing it. Because I have no doubt that probably happened in other locker rooms, especially over many years, you know, that the NFL's been around. I'm sure that's happened.
So we did get an update on the thing we said earlier about a coach having a losing record.
Right.
In the Super Bowl, as Owen Pooley's dad, Greg Pooley, commented.
Ah, yeah.
So there's four coaches that have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Forrest Gregg,
mm-hmm.
Bengals coach.
Right.
He was 75-85-1.
So that's okay. Was that when he went into the Super Bowl, though?
No, his career.
Okay. Talking about, because, I mean, with Joe Burrow, he can turn that. I mean, he's what?
Oh, yeah. I would 13 assume, games but under as of 500? Right now. And as of right now, then Sam Wicky? How do you say that name right there?
Weich. Sam Weich.
I don't know. Yeah, but he was 87 and 109, yeah. Three of those all have coached.
He also, with the Bengals, he also coached the Buccaneers and had some really bad years there in Tampa. He also coached IU 1 year, Ofer at IU.
And then Zach Taylor, 1932-1.
I'm just wondering about when they actually went to coach in the Super Bowl.
We got that now.
Oh, okay. There you go.
He commented 3 minutes later. I just now saw it. The other one is Kyle Shanahan. It was 43-44.
Yeah.
And then Greg was 36-37 going into the Super Bowl and finished with a 75-85-1.
Right, right.
And then the other guy.
He also coached. He would coach later at Green Bay.
And then the other one. When it was 41.
Sam Weich.
Yeah, he was 41-38, so he did not have a losing record going into it, but ended up with a losing record.
Because he had a good run in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Sam Weich did. He's the guy that famously, when they were throwing the snowballs on the field in Cincinnati, went over and grabbed the microphone and said, you know, to stop it, we don't live in Cleveland, we live in Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cleveland was known for that back in the day. They threw everything.
But he was, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals coach kind of throwing shade on Cleveland. So he later regretted saying that.
Just a tad.
Sam Weich just died last year, maybe the year before.
2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. Good guy. Well, that's good. Thank you, Mr. Pulley.
Yeah, giving us some stats. We don't really have time to look it up. But, hey,
right.
There you go. So
yeah,
I do think Taylor will
turn it around. With Football Reference. It's really easy to check these things out.
But
You know, and that's another thing, too. By the way, this is WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. But that's another thing, too. When you look at not only his coaching record, but where he was on the hot seat when this mm-hmm. season started. There were a lot of people that were saying, you know, they're going to give him one more year. It's a good thing Mike Brown doesn't fire coaches.
Yeah, and he's going to be signed to a big mega contract. And
they're going to get, like, the Lunchables now with the sandwich rather than just the Lunchables as the food there.
Oh, yeah, because they...
they're going to get the one with, like, the sandwich and the juice box.
Yeah, since they made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. They are the only NFL team that currently does not have an indoor practice facility.
Maybe they'll get one if they win the Super Bowl.
Maybe Mike Brown will spring for that. But, yeah, the Bengals have been... It's good to see him there. And the Brown family, by the way, you talk about NFL royalty, the Brown family name. It's mm-hmm. literally the name of one of the franchises the league, which is so strange that, you know, the Cleveland Browns bear his nickname, but yet he left the Browns to start the Bengals. And that's so rare. You know, if you think that, well, that's your nickname, they're the Browns. So then they become huge rivals, you know.
Yeah,
the Browns and the Bengals, you know, arguably one of the bigger rivalries in the league. Of course, you would say the Browns and the Steelers, pretty much all the NFC North or the AFC North teams don't like each other very much.
They all battle it out over there in that division. But we're going to change topics to a different league, a game that happened last night. Now, you don't know too much about this.
We have to.
Just for real quick. I just want to touch on it.
Pacers.
The Indiana Pacers won last night.
I just feel like I'm just punching down on the Pacers every week.
Yeah, but they won.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they won 122-116. And it was the rookie night last night, as you could go to this game for a singular dollar. Obviously, with fees and all that, probably about $7 a ticket, but a dollar.
The ticket was a dollar. The fees were $37.
But. Hey, I mean, if you live downtown, you can go to a Pacer game. You can get 8 people. I did them. I looked at it. 8 people to the game, Magic game tomorrow. Obviously, you're probably going to be stuck at the Pacer Stadium because you're going to get snowed in.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So you could live there. But
well, if we get the ice, they're saying you could just stand and just hopefully it's downhill and just slide home.
Slide on home.
Yeah.
But for 8 people to sit up all the way up in the boonies, of course.
Which are still good seats.
Man, there's no really bad seat over there, and now Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Yes. And you could get 8 people together and go for $38 with fees included.
Wow.
To a Pacer game versus the Orlando Magic. I mean, that's probably the worst game ever. But
both teams are combined 6 wins this year. No, actually, the Pacers are a little better than the Magic.
Sadly, they have 19 wins. The Magic don't have.
Well, I wasn't that far off. And the Pacers have 19. The Magic are what, 9, 10 wins now?
Let me look at the standings, and the Magic have 11 wins.
Oh, well, there you go. Man. So a battle for the basement of the Eastern Conference.
The battle for the lottery pick.
Yes.
But the Pacers got a win, 122-116, and big game Isaiah Jackson, the rookie.
I heard about this, yeah.
Second selection of last year's draft, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. Isaiah Jackson, how do you do? Welcome. And I think DeMontis
Sabonis. And that was in a starting role, too, wasn't it?
Sabonis did not start because of COVID, so Sabonis is going to miss a couple days, most likely.
Health and safety protocol.
I would assume it's COVID.
Yeah.
But Isaiah Jackson came into the role, and he played amazing. I mean, 26 points for a guy who's only 20 years old.
Which means that Kevin Pritchard is probably looking to move him already.
Well, probably. But he won't. But I think if you see Isaiah Jackson doing stuff like that, he has the ability to play a Miles Turner role. And, I mean, that is probably – I mean, Miles Turner's had a couple good, really good games this season. But if he could keep up that, I mean, he's only 20. Miles Turner's 26.
Old man.
And I mean, that's not old, but NBA wise, that's 6 years and that's a lot of money.
26
Miles Turner
old.
Makes a bunch of money. Miles Turner is the odd man out.
Yeah.
Especially if Isaiah Jackson can keep up this. But hey, Dune Washington Jr., 16 points, hit some threes. Chris Duarte, only 8 points, 5 assists. But the rookies, I mean, they played really good. And then Terry Taylor, I bet you don't know who that is. 15 points. A rookie. He played most of the season for the G League Mad Ants, but he played in this one. He had 15 points, and the rookies combined for 67 points, and the Pacers came and had an amazing second half and beat the Clippers, a Clippers team that doesn't have Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, but they still have good players
but
such as Serge Ibaka and Reggie Jackson and Eric Bledsoe, Nick Batum. I mean, they have talented players. And the rookies, I mean, they played good. Caris LeVert also played in this game for some reason, 17 points. Sadly, he played. I mean, I wish he would get traded probably more than anyone. I just don't think he fits this team at all. Every time, I don't know. I'd rather just watch the rookies go out there and have fun than have the vets play.
And I think, again, we've talked about it 100,000 times, so we're blue in the face on this program, that I think this city would support a young team who's trying to make their way.
Oh, 100%.
And shows effort. And I mean, that's because that's what our city is.
The fans were loving it last night whenever Jackson had 26.
All six fans that were in attendance.
All eight fans. They were all up.
Oh, there were eight.
They were all in the $1 seats, yes. And they were loving it.
Well, I know we were talking about earlier, it's pretty reasonable to even sit down low at a Pacers game. So.
Oh, you can get I relooked at it. It's row two on the court. So you'd be on the floor, row two, so you're right there, not court, like front row.
By the way, the Pacers are not a sponsor. They haven't given us any money. We're talking about this for informational purposes only.
$381.
That's not bad.
To sit on the court, practically.
Yeah.
And you can be like row five for $70.
See, and the Pacers have a problem, but I think
they're terrible.
I think that the solution is to let the rookies play.
I'd go to a Pacer game to watch the rookies.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't go to many, and I wouldn't care. But
that's probably more than you would go to watch, you know, a bunch of veterans who don't fit together.
Caris LeVert and Malcolm Brogdon try to shoot contested layups every 10 seconds. I mean, that would be fun for them maybe, but not for me, and to see them lose.
So maybe you see a little light at the end of the tunnel now for the Pacers.
Oh, I do see a light at the end of the tunnel if they trade everyone that starts for them besides Domantas Sabonis.
Right.
I think they should keep him.
And also, go back a couple of games. I know when the Pacers played in Dallas, they had a great tribute to Rick Carlisle.
Mm-hmm.
That was very classy by the Mavericks organization. And I know it made Coach Carlisle a little misty-eyed. There were some really good pictures of him doing that. And so that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, it was really good. The Pacers lost that game, by the way. But
yeah,
they did that all the time.
They gave up, 138 points that night?
Yeah, their defense is immaculate, to say the least.
Yeah, and that's so on Rick Carlisle. Like, you know, it has to be killing him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that how this team is constructed is absolutely killing him. And
but
I
think he might be winning the war here over, you know, kind of, I'm going to play the rookies, and this is how it's going to be. And we'll see where we're going to be, and you know, do your thing.
He's going to build this team
because I mean, I think if it comes down to coach versus GM, I think that the GM is probably going to end up losing out in that,
especially
battle.
If it's Rick Carlisle.
Right,
Rick Carlisle is going to win the fight if it's
not GM, team president. Sorry,
it's going to be. I mean, Carlisle's he's the. I mean,
they put the money, they invested the money.
They paid him.
Right.
So he's going to be here.
Right.
It's not like they're going to fire him because they played that. Because
Herb Simon isn't pulling out the checkbook and signing a big check to get rid of Rick Carlisle anytime soon.
No, he's going to be here at least till his contract's over, unless he retires. But I think Carlisle came here because he wanted to rebuild a team, and I don't think he was given that freedom here in Dallas. So
well,
I think
that's why
he left.
I don't think he really got a good account of himself the first time around. It wasn't his fault what happened in Detroit.
Oh no, not
so,
his fault at all.
You know, I don't think he really got to kind of stick the landing, so to speak, of his career here in Indiana.
I think
he
likes
to do that
too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times when people come and live in the city, they like it here. They want to come back. You know, Tony Gwynn, a great MLB player, played in San Diego, but he lived in Indianapolis, and a lot of that was people are like, why does he live here? He plays in the Padres. Why does he?
A lot of other NFL players live here. Pat McAfee retired a long time ago, and he's still here.
Yep.
Adam Vinatieri, I don't know if he's going to be here anymore since his son just gotten to college, but even though his son has been playing high school football, he's lived here since he's retired. Andrew Luck still lives here.
Yeah.
I mean,
still see him.
Yeah, occasionally. It's like, who's that guy? Is that Andrew Luck?
Yeah. looks like a shoe salesman or something now. But I'm glad Andrew Luck's happy.
Yeah, he has his daughter. He's happy.
He trends about twice a week on Twitter, and you're like, why is he trending?
I know, it's so crazy. Usually
just people lamenting that we don't have Andrew Luck anymore.
I miss Andrew Luck.
Well,
Andrew Luck's
nice.
Better than
He's
Carson
not
Wentz.
Back.
Like, okay.
It's like, yes, and water is also going to fall from the sky when it rains. Okay,
and it's
going to
snow tomorrow.
The sun is going to come up in the east. These are truths. Yes, we miss Andrew Luck.
We wish he stayed.
Yes,
but
he is better than Carson Wentz. No, he is not coming back ever.
And it's just funny because he gets linked to almost every team that needs a quarterback. Right, so and it's just like
the Steelers.
Like, oh,
he
I
had,
saw that.
He had lunch with some of the Steelers, and they're like, oh, he's coming back.
You know, that was
Steelers.
Actually in the Pro Bowl whenever he played here. That picture.
Oh, so it was old.
Yeah, it was old. But the funny thing is, even if Andrew Luck wanted to come back and play for another team, Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay would laugh so loud because there is no way they're trading his rights to anyone.
Right.
It's either you play here, you don't play, or you give us a bag to get him. And that, I mean, no team, they're not letting Andrew Luck go.
Same no, because Andrew Luck's 31 years old now.
He's 32 now.
32? So that ship has sailed, folks. He's not coming
he's
back.
He's not coming back.
And I don't think he wants to.
No.
I mean, whenever you see him on the chances, the rare chances that we've had to see him, he looks like he's really happy.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's happy being a dad. You know, that's
he's just
what,
living life.
Yeah. And that's... If you know anything about Andrew Luck, football was not his life. You know, he had a lot of other interests, spoke different languages,
mm-hmm.
you know, loved books and reading. And, you know, I mean, he was not the kind of guy like Peyton Manning who is always going to be involved in football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peyton's got a lot of other interests. He's an excellent businessman and things. But, you know, you saw him on SNL this week. Yeah. He was mm-hmm. just hilarious.
He's
but
like the most awkward, funniest guy ever.
Well, he just plays that role very well. Mm-hmm. But Peyton is a football guy. Yeah. You're always going to see him involved in some way in football.
And Andrew Luck isn't.
Andrew Luck has other priorities. That's okay.
Yeah.
As long as he's happy.
Yeah, if he's happy, I mean, the Colts will eventually figure it out.
I may not be retired by then, hopefully, but...
Maybe they'll just have a different quarterback every year for the next 30 years. I mean...
Oh, gosh.
Maybe they could just tank a couple seasons and get a guy.
I don't think Jim Irsay likes to tank.
No, I don't think they will. I think they're going to put all the chips on the table. At least Irsay said that. So we will see. I know the Pacers aren't doing that anytime soon. But Jim Irsay said he's going to. But now shifting topics to a college team that plays up in Indiana. And they're called Indiana. The Indiana Hoosiers got another road win in the Big Ten. They won 68-55, and just another road win for Mike Woodson. And
who was wearing a sport coat.
He was wearing a sport coat. He's 2-0 in those.
Yeah.
So, man.
1-0 in the turtleneck. So, there were people on the on Twitter saying, I'm interested in a crimson turtleneck now.
Yeah, I don't know why he can't out.
Got to see some Christian Lander for the first time in a long time.
Yeah,
in that game at Maryland, it's always, you know, once again, very tough to go on the road in the Big Ten and win. You got it done, did it convincingly this time instead of, you know, just kind of like they did at Nebraska where they just kind of eked one out. And then IU posted on Twitter, the IU men's basketball Twitter account posted the post-game speech with Coach Woodson talking about how he thought this team could play with anybody in the country. And I mean, makes you want to go run through the wall for him.
Oh yeah, he's a good coach.
I mean, it wasn't a fire and brimstone, jump up and down, yelling and screaming speech. It was just like,
motivation.
Hey, you guys think you guys can play with anybody, but they got to want it. And they don't have an easy schedule to finish at all.
So, yeah.
So
they have some tough teams.
They do. Some of them are in Bloomington, but you know, going to have to go on the road a couple of times here.
It's going to show, is this team going to be elite?
On the road,
or are they just going to be average?
On the road to Ohio State, on the road to Purdue. They get Illinois mm-hmm. on Saturday. They got Michigan State in there. you know, Wisconsin at home, which is, I think Wisconsin's ranked fifth in the country right now. So still a long way to go for Indiana.
Wisconsin's 11th.
11th. There you go.
IU is like 28th right now. So they're getting there. They can pick up a big win over Illinois. Illinois this Saturday. I think they'll get there. Yeah. I think they'll be top 25.
Oh, I think so, too. That would give them, what, four wins, I think, over top 25 teams this season. I know Ken Palm's ratings, as far as one of the guys that does bracketology, he's got him ranked 25th in the country right now as far as the going into the tournament, which would kind of translate into about a fifth, sixth seed. So, I mean, they're getting to the point where they're solidly in the NCAA this year, which I think that's what IU fans want.
Haven't been like that in a while.
Right. They want a team that is consistently in the NCAA tournament. You know, you got used to that under Coach Knight, where they made the NCAA tournament every year for years, from like 1985 through, I think it was and they made the NCAA all the way up till when Mike Davis was coach. So I think it was 2005 or 2006 is when that
2006
when that ended.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. So the you know that wasn't really Mike Davis's fault. They had a brutal schedule that year. But the anyway, I think Hoosier fans just want to get back to that where they haven't missed the tournament. Now they would, to be fair, they would have made it the year that the tournament got wiped out. They would have been somewhere in the NCAA that year. But other than that, they've really struggled last few years to get into the NCAA tournament. Towards the end of Tom Crean, you know, he missed it his last year. He goes from winning the Big Ten, missing the tournament, and then he gets fired. But that's the way it goes. So I think people just want IU to be a consistent winner again.
And I think they're going to get that. I think Coach Woodson's really turning this back into a winning organization and a program, and I'm excited. I mean, in this game, Race Thompson had a really good game. 17 points, 12 rebounds, a couple blocks. I mean, he's really stepped into a big role this season. Trace Jackson Davis, I mean, he's doing his thing. He's finally back in a groove.
And two, I know Indiana finishes the season with Purdue in Mackey. That'll be a big measuring stick game for him. Purdue getting the win at home over Ohio State.
Ooh, Ivy, a buzzer beater?
Yeah, buzzer beater that he didn't get against Indiana.
But he almost did.
Purdue, man, that's a fun team to watch.
Oh, Ivy is just such a good player. They have a big center. I mean, that team is loaded.
Yeah.
I mean,
well-coached.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
love that. I mean, I know I'm an IU fan. I'm supposed to hate Purdue, but I really love to watch the Boilers play basketball.
Oh, yeah. They have a future NBA star in Ivy as well.
So, hopefully Big Ten, right now is just like it was in the 80s and the 90s. It is just loaded, just full of really good basketball teams. I've seen some estimates giving the Big Ten 7 or 8 teams in the tournament this year, which, you know, out of 14, who are the 6 you don't put in? But, you know, even some have set up to 9 teams in the NCAA, which if you look at a league like the Big East, it's very top-heavy. You know, there's maybe 4 or 5 teams in the Big East that are really good, and then the rest of the league, like Butler, is just trying to fight in the middle. And a team like that's going to have to win the Big Ten tournament, or pardon me, the Big East tournament to get in. Whereas the Big Ten is going to get a lot of at-large bids. But it would be nice to see IU and Purdue both make runs, maybe get in the Big Ten tournament final.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see it.
But another thing, too, you know, with 14 teams in the Big Ten, you fight for that seeding in the Big Ten tournament. That is so critical so that you don't have to play that first day.
Man, first day in the Big Ten tournament, it's not fun.
No.
You're going to play on the second day.
Yeah, that means you had a good year. But, you know, that first day, I think you have to be, what, above the 6th seed?
Yeah.
To play the second day, so you want to be one of those top 5 seeds or top 6 seeds in the Big Ten.
I think IU's there right now, but they had to finish strong. They have a lot of tough games coming up, lots of tough games, and if they can just stay steady, stay sturdy, I think they'll be fine.
What are they? They have 8 wins, I think, right now in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So
8-2.
You get 2 more, you get to 10-10. You're kind of assured a 500 record in the Big Ten, I think that probably puts you in the tournament. But you want to be above 500.
Oh, they will. Yeah. I think they will. I think they'll probably finish with about 12, 13.
They still have Maryland at home. They still have Rutgers, I believe, at home. Mm-hmm. Rutgers is having a good year.
Mm-hmm.
But those are Nebraska. Do they still have Nebraska at home?
Yeah.
So there are plenty of games that they should win left on that schedule. Northwestern is a team that's okay. They're not great, but
they should beat them.
They should beat Northwestern.
They play them at home in a couple of weeks.
So, you know, Indiana's still got some games ahead. Purdue, I mean, they're playing for either a one or a two seed, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. So,
even though they've kind of dropped in rankings, they now rank at number six.
I still think that that's underranked. I think they're underranked at six. I think Purdue is a national championship contender when they've got all cylinders firing. So that'll be very interesting to watch where the Boilers kind of shake out. Of course, then, too, for the Big Ten, you've got Coach Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans back where they belong in the conversation. Ohio State, you got Illinois, Iowa. You've got all these teams in the Big Ten. It's just loaded right now.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to shape out. I think it's going to be a fun one, especially whenever it comes around into February, into March.
March Madness.
And hopefully it doesn't get anything happen to it, and we still get off.
Oh, I think March Madness will happen.
Oh, yeah. But that's really going to wrap up the show. That's everything we have to talk about. Obviously, with the pending things on the weather, we do not know if a show will happen this Thursday, but hopefully. I mean, I can almost assume that it will not happen.
Host it from home.
Yeah, hosting it from home. We'll call in. But
somebody has to be here to put it on.
Maybe we'll just leave it on, so you'll just hear us.
We'll just leave the thing on. And the computer will just play over the back.
Yeah.
There'll be music underneath the whole show.
I mean, I guess. But
yeah, we could do that.
But, yeah, if not, you'll hear from us next Tuesday, but hopefully maybe this Thursday. But it's been a good show. Thanks to Owen Pooley, John Easter for joining me up in Jackson White. And hopefully everyone stays safe out there pending weather and has a good rest of their day. And we'll see you soon.